You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap-Up Podcast. We're back once again to talk about Group A. It's been a minute, but I'm very excited to look at these three beloved characters, now two beloved characters. We're going to break all of it down. We're going to talk about who went home, all that good stuff. I am your host, Puya the Falafel Zanvakili. And of course, as always, I'm not alone. This is a two-person operation. I've got my partner in crime with me. It's Liana the Kettle Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
That's me.
That is you.
Yeah.
That is you.
Yeah.
You don't need any other introduction.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Liana, Group A happened again.
Yeah.
We are no longer, I'm assuming, the next time we see Group A, it'll be in a merge of all three with the Super Six. So, right out the gate, what were your thoughts on this this year finals?
Well, the SmackDown is back. So I was very excited about that. I think going into the episode, I was a little confused. You know, we knew we had three, I guess, technically total of four performers, but three performances. And so, you know, I was a little nervous about how they were going to fit. I was like, even the Masked Singer can't come up with enough fluff to fill the hour episode with only three performances. So it was really great to see the SmackDown back. We also had the performance when they all performed together at the beginning. These were things that I didn't think would happen because of the COVID precautions, but it seemed like that, you know, they were able to keep the 6 feet of distance between all of the performers. So that all seemed to work out okay. And I really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah. No, I honestly also felt the same. It was a good all around situation. I did not know how we were going to get a whole hour with only three performers, but they found a way. They brought back some old favorites. They brought back some other stuff. So yeah, all in all, good times to be had.
Mm-hmm.
It also helps that I wasn't too sad about the elim, I think.
Yeah, I think I can't decide if, because when I'm watching, like, let's say The Amazing Race, I want it to be a little bit more, oh, who's going to go? I don't know who's going to go. But here, I don't know. I like expecting the expected. Is that bad? Like, I'm happy. I feel okay with the decision that was made. I feel happy about the decision that was made because I think the people that were unmasked deserve to be unmasked compared to the other two performers. So in this instance, I was happy with the outcome, even though I think you and I both saw it coming a mile away.
Right. And I do think that, you know, we've had this last season.
Or a snow owl's flight away, as the snow owl flies, as they say.
Whoo.
I know exactly where I'm going.
That's, I think, dumb. I know the old soundboard. But no, honestly, I think for me, we've had a similar situation to this before, where I believe it was last season where we were in a position where we thought we knew what was going to happen. And then Miss Monster went home over the White Tiger. And that soured me on that whole episode. I would have rather had the situation that I thought was happening happen, even though it was a predictable thing, than the unpredictable. Because when it gets to the nitty gritty and the musical talents, I would prefer if the ones that are more talented, whether musical or otherwise, to proceed. So.
Yeah, I actually, okay, I think that's a good distinction, because it's not about like the certainty versus uncertainty. It's about what teams you feel like should progress in the amazing race. Like, you know, if a team is consistently messing up, you're like, well, they should go home to give the other contestants a chance to perform. Sorry, we've been watching a lot of Amazing Race lately. Just all my analogies are going to be Amazing Race based, which is probably not going to help anybody, but still. With the Masked Singer, I feel the same way. If there are good performers, I think that they should stay, because I want to see more of them. Where if there's a performer that is, you know, okay, I've seen enough. You know, we've seen enough here. Then I want them to leave to give the opportunity to the other performer. So yeah, I agree. I completely agree with you. I think that's the situation, and I'm happy that that's what happened in this particular episode.
I am very happy as well. We'll get to why we're happy about it in a little bit here, but we can open the show by talking about what happened with the show opening. So the motif of the show, Liana, FaceTime based, Google Hangouts based, Google Duos based, Skype based. It was video calling somebody with my phone. And that was kind of the motif of the opening. We found out later that the clue packages, the special clues, were going to be FaceTime themed. Did you have any strong opinions about this, or can we move on?
I enjoy things that are thematic and a consistent theme, I think, is key. It's better than that one time where it was TikTok based and then we never saw TikTok again as a concept. So, yeah, I like this.
I know. I'm also with you. I was about to bring that up myself. I would have loved for
myself
TikTok themed cool themes. Whoa. Are you mocking me?
I like it.
Okay. So then we find out the SmackDown is back once again. I know you've been missing this one.
I love the SmackDown. SmackDown. Was there one where like both? No. It's always been like this, where they sing different songs. I was like, is there one where they sing the same song? And then I was like, oh, that's The Voice. Okay.
Yeah, that's when their battle is they sing the same thing together as a duet, yes. Almost.
Yeah. Although I think they now have one that's more like this, but whatever, it's fine. Yeah, so this was good. They changed the microphone. I did notice it's no longer made out of extra thingamajig costume fabric pieces. It's like spiky, which is kind of cool. I'm happy that they changed it up a little bit, although I do miss the old one. But yeah, of course, very happy to have the SmackDown back, even though no cross promotion this time. They're just, you know, straight game mechanic.
Yeah, well, it happened because of, you know, we're promoting WWE SmackDown, and now it's like, you know what, we like this. This works for us. Let's keep it. So
yeah.
I'm happy that they kept it, honestly.
Yeah, I'll figure out what The Voice ones are called. Not that anybody cares, but.
I don't know. It's like The Battleground or something.
The Battleground. Okay, let's see. Blind Audition, The Battle Rounds, The Brand New Knockouts, and then the live performance shows.
Okay.
So I think the battle rounds are where, well, what are we talking about? We're not talking about The Voice. Let's talk about the Masked Singer.
We're losing the Masked Singer squad here, myself included. Again, myself. Yes.
Okay. The battles is where they sing the same song. The knockouts are where they get paired with a member of their team, and then they compete against each other, but they select their own songs to perform individually. So this is the knockouts, but it's the SmackDown. So
the SmackDown.
Yeah, this is the SmackDown version, but it could be called the Knockouts if you're on The Voice. Same concept, different languages.
Mm-hmm. Same, but not same. Gotcha. Okay, so with regards to Nick Cannon, he comes out wearing this like weirdly bedazzled mask. I feel like I'm at a point now where I keep bringing him up as his intro, but it doesn't matter anymore. It's like, oh, he came out with this mask that was literally covered in diamonds, and it didn't look like a mask, but it is what it is. Like,
well, matched his shoes.
It matched his big ass expensive shoes, the 2.7 million whatever shoes. Yeah, no, they're doing this thing now where they have like the back. Like, this wasn't the Men in Black that escorted Nick Cannon out. It was like the weird dancers that like danced around him and then stripped him of his mask. So whatever, that happened. We can move on. And then we found out we're going to have a guest this episode. And the guest is Niecy Nash, who I'm not familiar with her work.
So the main thing I know her from is Reno 911.
Right. I feel like her face looks familiar to me, but I've not.
She was
not
on Reno 911.
I mean, but I didn't see her.
Okay. She was on. So I think I can see her voice. She was a guest. judge.
Do like, we need to look at the guests on that show now to see who's going to be a guest on this one?
Dude, I'm performers. I'm telling you, like, there's so much in. If we thought Dancing with the Stars had inbreeding with the Masked Singer, look to So I Think I Can See Your Voice, because that's really where the crossover happens. Like, Jesse McCartney was on, Robin Thicke's been on, Nicole Scherzinger, Adrian Bylone, like, they're all there.
She was, speaking of Dancing with the Stars, she was on Dancing with the Stars at one point.
Oh, Bob Saget was there?
Yeah, Bob Saget was a guest on See Your Voice and then was on...
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I could see her. I could see her being involved. But no, she was... So, quick note for me. She was fun. I liked her. Overall, I thought she brought a lot of good stuff to the panel. I did forget. I nearly buried this. So, when Nick started the show, he's like, and this person, like, the group A is back. So we've got the yummy popcorn and then just said the snow owl and the sun. Why is the popcorn yummy?
Because they have a flirt mance.
Yeah, that was a segment they showed us.
That was indeed.
Yeah. They love this. Every once a season, they pick somebody who has a love interest within the squad, right? Mm-hmm. So we had the thingamajig with Nicole. And then we have this. What was it last year? Do you remember what last year's was? Last season?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can move on. It's not that important. And then can you speak on the group performance?
Okay. So before we get to the group performance, I just want to say Nick Cannon mentioned our socially distanced panel.
Oh, yeah, lies.
Then
lies.
The whole audience is packed together like sardines. I'm sorry, but like it loses the impact when you say, look, we're being socially responsible. And then look at all those randos packed together in the audience. Like, oh, well, we don't care about them.
I'm not going to lie to you. I said this last week. You know, I had a boiling point, but it feels like they're adding more audience shots in the deeper we get into the show.
Like they're mocking me.
Yeah, I'm like, guy, it takes me out of it. How many times am I supposed to tell you that I know these aren't for this performer, so it means nothing to me.
So someone reached out to me who, you know, we talked about the Masked Singer before. They had been to one of the performances previously, and they were like, I finally saw myself. Apparently, oh, that's so funny. I was there to hear the final guesses on the Snow Owl, and I agreed with Nicole's guess emphatically. So it's just like, I don't know, maybe it's just funny at this point, but I thought I loved how they pointed that out. And then in my background, I'm like, okay, but like the audience though, whatever. And then Ken is going to bone up on the singers, which I thought was hilarious. Okay. So raise your glass, Ken Bone. Oh no. Isn't he canceled? The raise your glass pink performance was fun. I wasn't expecting it at all. So it was very welcome. It kind of reminded me of season one, like when they all performed together and I was like, this is the coolest thing in the whole wide world. Like Monster and Peacock performing together. And so it was nice to have a little bit of that. I don't know, almost childhood excitement for something so silly and so stupid. But I mean, the sun killed this. And I think to me, it highlighted the ranking more starkly if I had to rank the contestants here.
I kind of hate that the group performance have it because I'm going to speak about all three performers and then I'm going to speak about them again later. But this was the biggest proof, if anything, of what we've been saying.
Yeah.
I was so bored by the Snow Owls. I was like, you're literally standing there and doing nothing. You're doing nothing. Yeah. It was so bothersome. So bothersome. And no, the sun did phenomenally. The popcorn did phenomenally. The snow owls, it was like one is good and one isn't. Also, I would like to put this out there. Male snow owl kind of sounds like Mike Bloom. Okay.
I can't tell if that's a compliment or an insult to, and if so, to which party?
No, it's not the singing part when they're speaking in the clue packages. And
In the clue pack. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, but that's just the thing I remembered. But no, I thought that ultimately, you know, it was harmless. It was a good way to start the show. It was fun. It was a good pop song to get the wheels rolling here. And it did help us segue away from that horrible, I'm Ken Jeong. Look at all these books I have here that I'm learning from. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a dummy segment. So I was very happy with it overall. It did all the things I needed it to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to quickly bring this up though. Nicole said this is going to be the greatest showdown in the history of The Masked Singer. And I was like, I'm sorry, do you think you're in the Group B finals? Because that hasn't happened yet.
What's that Maury gif that it's like, and the test determined that that was a lie. Like, that's yeah. the gif that I want to, I don't know how I can like audio push that, but that's what I'm picturing.
I love that, though. I love that. You know, you illuminate me, Liana. You shine bright like the sun. And speaking of the sun, let's talk about the sun. So do you have any thoughts on this whole clue package we got from the sun?
Okay. So I have something I need to come clean about, something I need to say. So I was in a chat and someone, I believe, said who the sun was. And I saw this name.
Okay.
And now I didn't look anything up. I didn't try to cross-reference anything. But I have this name in the back of my head. So it's like very complicated for me when I'm talking about the sun now, because I believe I've been spoiled on the sun.
Oh, you believe like they've unveiled the mask to you. They've unmasked them for you, is what you're telling.
Yes, I believe
so. That sucks.
Yeah, so it's complicated, but we can talk things through. We can bounce ideas off each other.
Okay.
I just want to like throw that out there.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And you know, to repeat to the audience, we do not look at subreddits, comment sections, forums. Any research we do is independent and is minimal. So if I think it could be somebody, I'll search their name and write the word wiki right after. So it just takes me directly to their wiki page. So I don't see any other confirmation or anything on my search engine. And so we avoid that stuff. So naturally, this is upsetting. Leon, I know you don't want to get spoiled on an unmasking. Neither do I. So I appreciate you telling me that up front. But we can proceed with caution here. I think it'll be fine. What I want to talk about is, we're back at it again with the friends of the singers. So like last season, like the White Tiger had a dartboard friend or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we had, what was the sun's one? What do you call that item?
It's like a windshield reflector thing, but I thought the name was really clever. It was the sun's soulmate, but like S-O-L.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really clever. But yeah, it's like it goes in the windshield of your car.
Windshield of your car. Right. Yes, yes, that's what that is. I just don't know what the exact phrasing is for that. But no. So the windshield wiper thing is there. So that was fascinating to me. So I'm looking at these clues, right? So this was the whole motif here was it's like an RV on a road trip, and there was an Alaska stop, there was a Mexico stop, there were four cows. None of this brought me necessarily closer to anything, to be frank.
Mm-hmm. There was, ice fishing, the Angel Bell wind chimes, and the fact that she's been a longtime performer, which means that she's been in the biz for a while.
Yes. Yes. And for me, I think that we've been talking about what kind of type of person this is. This is someone who I think is very much in like the Rumor Willis of the world, where great voice, probably doesn't have as much recognition, maybe.
Mm.
I don't know. Because I have no clue. I have no clue what direction I should be
in. I mean, they have a gold record, which is what we learn from the later.
Not much, though, isn't it?
Okay, is it bad? I was like, oh, like, call me when you go platinum. And then I was like,
gold? Is gold like 100?
I mean, it's still more than I could ever achieve in my entire life, even if I like preyed on every monkey paw I could find and threw a coin in every fountain. But yeah, the gold certification is it's I can't remember exactly what the threshold is. But like, you know, platinum's the tip top one.
500,000 for gold.
500,000 what?
Units.
Sold, right?
Yes.
Right. So $500,000.
That's decent. That's actually more than I thought.
Yeah, it's still a lot.
It's not that much.
Because people talk about like, oh, it went triple platinum. You know what I mean? And people like, because there's such a high metric.
Mm.
It's still an amazing accomplishment.
I mean, yes. Yeah. This is someone. So here's the thing, right? Gold, that kind of confirms, like, okay, maybe it's more than a rumor, Willis, but it's someone who is not getting the recognition they deserve, right?
That's what I think it is.
Yeah, it's not like a T-Pain of, oh, he's got Grammys, but he's not recognized for his great voice. This is someone who has a great voice, but is not recognized with a Grammy or with accolades because they're just gold.
It could be the same, like, who is that opera singer from last season? The kitty cat. Who is the kitty cat? The kitty.
Oh, the one from America's Got Talent.
Yeah, her. What was her name?
I
remember Jackie Evanko.
Jackie Evanko. There we go.
Is that, she's like a Jackie Evanko type. Like, I thought that was what the seahorse was, but they could be both of them. Maybe this is just an older Jackie Evanko.
Yeah. I remember having a guest. I mean, all the weeks are meshing together, especially when we haven't talked about the seahorse in 3 weeks, but I remember having a solid thought on who the seahorse could be. Mm-hmm. I'm literally in an eclipse with the sun. I have no idea.
A total eclipse of the guesses.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. I thought it was interesting. So with the clues, like when you look at the with the sun wiper shield person is sitting there, and like you see the RV, you see a chair, there's like a picture frame with like, and then there's Welcome to Baltimore, and there's like a crab. Is a crab a signature of Baltimore, or is that like a clue as well?
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay, so it is part of Baltimore. Okay, I don't know. I'm learning.
Yeah, there's really good. You can get really good crab there.
Oh, okay. Cool. Is it the best crab is my question.
I mean, I'm sure that people from Baltimore would tell you that it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not a crab connoisseur.
I wish I could share this with you. So I have, I'm looking at the still of the
share screen.
Oh yeah, you know what I could do? We have technology. Okay, tech. Where is this at? Lovely. Boom. All right, let me know when you can see it.
Yeah.
All right, so look at this still here. Okay.
Okay.
So we've got, is that the Northern Lights?
Yeah, it looks like the Aurora Borealis.
I don't know what that is.
It's the Northern Lights. Yes.
Okay.
The answer is yes.
What do you think this is, like this bag of herbs? Is it like...
It looks like a plant.
Oh, it's just plant.
Oh, you're asking, but like, this is a generic plant.
Yeah, it's plant number three.
It's the sparrow of plants.
Mm-hmm. There's a wind chime. There's this like weird Mustang looking car toy thing. And then there's the four cows and the picture of the Northern Light. So all of this to say, I do not know who this person is, but I just thought it was worth sharing, worth, you know, bringing up the clues we do be seeing. But no, I don't know who this is, but what I can tell you, what I'm confident in is that the sun is phenomenal. Sun. So good. So good. The Sun performed Peace of My Heart by Janis Joplin. Amazing voice. Here's my one gripe with the Sun's performance. Mm-hmm. What is up with those centaurs on the side of the...
I spent the whole time trying to be like, are those real? Or are those animated? And then I was like, oh, they're like the hologram animation that they've been doing.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, because when you think Janis Joplin, everybody thinks centaurs.
Absolutely. That's the first thing.
I was like, is this going to be a Game of Thrones thing? And like, we're going to do, or, you know, I don't know, some like mythical thing. And like, no, it was Janis Joplin. And then the backup, I mean, I guess it was all like the horses in the back and it was supposed to be this like gold mythological thing. But yeah, the centaur dudes, super weird.
I mean, the centaur was very weird. I didn't like it. Again, we're at this point where some performances do not need some of these extra accessories that are there, especially because this is going to be the most underreported story of the night. The sun had a wardrobe change. The sun is not wearing that big, like, poofy skirt. The sun's legs were in view, and dare I say, the sun was going a little sensual tonight.
Sun looking sexy. The sexy sun. Yeah, she had pants on. She had like a bodysuit like thing. Yeah, she looked great. Sun's fabulous. Yeah. I think the sun is the front runner. I really do. And I think that, yeah, the only thing negative that you could even say is nothing actually to do with the sun. It's just like, I've complimented, I love the animations that they've been doing, but the centaurs just made no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. The centaurs made no sense. The background dancers, again, we've talked about this extensively, but the masks that the background dancers wear are always a budget version of whatever mask the performer is wearing.
But these are like weird... they like Statue of Liberty, like
it was like Statue of Liberty, a little bit like if Bart Simpson, like Bart Simpson's hair or Lisa Simpson's like hair, like the sharp edges around the head.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a vibe of its own right. I honestly, the fact that it didn't matter what they could have been wearing, I don't know what's worse than what they were wearing, and I would have just been like, the centaurs are the worst thing. So everything else looked fine. I did like the background; it was very Gates of Heaven kind of vibes. I liked that. I was a fan of that. So. I do think the sun is honestly one of the front runners, and I think that the sun probably gets overlooked because of the fact that the sun's group was weaker than like a group B, where the group B has like three genuine contenders to the crown. So there it will look automatically like they had a harder time and they're better. Where I
Yeah. Like they had to battle against the best. So they must be better.
I'm excited for the sun to get into the Super
Dude,
Six.
Dude, that Super Six is going to be legit, though.
Oh, yeah. This is the first time in a while that I feel like anyone in the Six could win. Anyone in the Six could win. Or in the Five. Well, I think there's one person that might be weak. I don't remember who's in Group C already.
No, the Mushroom, dude.
Mushroom? Who else is in that group that's good?
The mushroom dude.
No, mushroom, I don't know. Oh, yeah. the jellyfish and the mushroom, there we go.
Yeah, the jellyfish is good. Yeah. I don't know, we'll see.
No, that top six is gonna look stunted. My only wish is that it would be they'd have a wild card slot where it's a top seven and then the third person from group B can also be there.
Yeah,
but that's a sadness that I'll swallow till next week, and we will unwrap that together next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So then the judges come through, and the, like we said, the big clue, the surprise clue this week is the loved ones via robot that moves up to Nick Cannon. What did you think of that robot?
I'm like, the screen was so tiny. I thought they were going to project the Zoom. I was like, oh, Zoom, you know, it's like it's a video message. It's coming. Like, obviously it makes sense, but they're going to project it in the back. And then this tiny ass janky little robot just rolls out. At least this time it didn't run into the wall and fall over. But yeah, very Jetsons, in aesthetic.
Yeah. No, I agree. I do like the idea that they had to bring the person in through the robot. Again, it's a gimmick. No,
it fits also with the Masked Singer having to bring something out, right? They had to bring out the clue, they had to bring out, you know what I mean? So it's on par. I just felt like it was gonna fall apart, the little robot.
Yeah, I mean, if we're ranking
Wish 100%.
Which clue delivery had the best tech? I think that this is not taking over the drone delivery by any means, or the vault train even.
I mean, depending on how the coronavirus goes, like, can I like take a little robot to work? Can I like drive a robot around at work and
I know this because you've showed me this show, because I know you're a big fan, but there is an episode of The Big Bang Theory where Sheldon does all of this.
As the robot, so. I forgot about that. Oof.
Yeah, Leon, a big fan of that show. But yeah, so.
Yeah, that young Sheldon. It's my fave. Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing that really got me with the sun. So the sun, their person is a close personal friend of theirs. And This is where we learned about the fact that the record went gold. What did you think of the judges' guesses with Catherine McPhee, Jewel, or Demi Lovato? Do any of them? I mean, Demi Lovato's out because, I mean, Demi Lovato sold more than gold for sure, right?
Yeah, it's not Demi Lovato anyway. Like her,
I think it can't be Jewel by that. Is it Catherine McPhee? I don't think she has sold as much as I think she has.
I mean, she definitely falls into that category of someone who I think has a strong voice who's probably underappreciated. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it makes sense. Like I said, I'm a little, I was a little tore up about the sun, a little sunburnt, if you will. I didn't exactly know what to do, so I didn't do a whole lot of research this week.
Yeah. Her yeah, so her hit, her first single Over It was certified gold in 2008.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yeah. Her what's it called? Her self-titled album though sold only 381,000 copies as of December 2010. So
okay, all right, but so I mean, as long as something went platinum or gold, right? That's all we care about.
Because I do think ultimately, with regards to Catherine McPhee, if it was to be her, I do think that, you know, myself included, a lot of us look at that season not as the season that she came in second or the season that Taylor Hicks won. It's mm-hmm. the season that Chris Daughtry was robbed. So mm-hmm. definitely the storyline would fit there. If yeah. it's someone who's like not rated highly enough, but I feel like, if it's her, we'll see a scorpion somewhere as part of the clue package because she was on that show for a bit. Okay. Mm-hmm. We can move right on over to our boots for this episode. It's the Snow Owls. And Liana, what are your thoughts on that clue pack?
Okay, so for the clue package, I spent the entire time trying to figure out if the branch buddy was Freddy Krueger because, or like Edward Scissorhands, because he had those like, I was like, is he a tree? Is he a branch? Like, it was very, very odd. He was like hidden behind a tree. It was like such an odd choice. I guess it's like snow owls sit in trees, and so it's a branch that supports them, right? It's kind of like the whole logic there. But yeah. That was odd. So the things I pulled out where there was the space shuttle, the fact that they're total opposites, the rocking horse, the Roy Rogers or the Shirley Temple drink, I think it was a Roy Rogers, and then yeah, the Parthenon, which again, all of these clues end up fitting, of course, the eventual eliminated contestants. I mean, I thought I had a good guess on them from like the first episode, and then it's been like slowly devolving into that's definitely not right.
Yeah, we'll get to the vault guesses. Spoiler alert, I'm not going to win anything this week. But I have no idea who they were. Like, even after the unmasking, I was like, I still don't know who you are. So this was definitely outside of my wheelhouse.
Well, I was like, I know that guy. I was like, why do I know Clint Black? And then I was like, oh yeah, I've got that one song, Killing Time, by him. And that's it. Like, that was my entire experience with Clint Black. Like, I apologize to any Clint Black fan out there. I'll go check out his discography. That was all I knew. So yeah, this was like an unmasking of like, I also learned I learned more about people as well. It was rough. It was a little rough.
Yeah, so as far as the performance of Left Owl and Mike Bloom, I mean Right Owl, we had the song The Prayer by Andrea Bocelli and Celine Dion. And I was bored, man. I can't even hide it. Like, I was like, release the owls, damn it. Open the cage, let them out. Which, by the way, not to skip too far ahead, but they flipping came out of the shell before the reveal. So
yeah,
they could do this.
Yeah, they could exit the egg.
I was just fuming because literally I was like, Left Owl has some pipes, but I was like, Male Owl, who I believe is the artist in the two, I was like, I don't think this is the song for you. And yeah. I was like, I feel like, again, like the dancers are jumping around all behind them, but I was like, you're not moving. The best part of the song for me was what they had as their holograms, which was the big trees that I thought was actually a nice touch. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't know if it was like a, cause like the voices were fine. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it's not like they're awful, but I was like, where is the passion, the razzle dazzle? Like when the astronaut steps one step down and touches an audience member, that's not much, but that's still movement, that's emotion. Give me like a, let me see your like both your hands in a fist, and like you're like really pleading with the gods, like I need that prayer, like give me something.
Yeah, we had hypothesized this from the early episodes. The fact that they were limited and confined to the egg really hampers their dampens their performances. Because yeah, they, you know, there's only so much you can do, and the ballerina backup dancer can only go so far. And I think their voices went really well together. I think they harmonized quite well. But you know, the reality of the situation is that they're stronger singers, and the fact that they can't move really hurts.
It really does hurt. And I will say, like, my whole thing was I wanted them to switch it up a little bit, like give me like a different type of tune. Mm-hmm. And they kind of went back. They've been doing kind of ballady stuff from the jump, which does favor the not being able to move. But again, if you're doing jump by crisscross and you're both jumping in the egg, at least I'm like, damn, left owl going ham. Like, okay, like you're going, you give me something. But yeah, the music is definitely slower, which makes it you don't really move much. But then it's hard because I can't decide whether or not you don't have much going on or you're confined by the egg or both. It was, yeah, ultimately, especially with the three, the right choice went home.
It sucks also because as soon as they got out of that egg, I was like, these costumes are gorgeous. They're gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I've been stuck watching the heads, which are arguably the worst part of the costume this whole time when the rest of it is fabulous. I felt robbed. Ugh. Fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, I felt kind of like their Clue robot. I was on the floor. I was just like sprawled over. It was not great. But no, that robot did not make it to the stage, Liana.
No, it didn't. It fell over. Nick Cannon had to go and get it. That was pretty hilarious. It was like, robot down, robot down. And then we find out the clue, which further solidifies that I was completely wrong, that it's the two snow owls, you know, sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G, which really throws into question Branchy, because, like, were the owls kissing when Branchy was there? Was Branchy a voyeur? Was Branchy watching?
Branchy a thruple?
Yeah, but, well, no, they were sitting in a tree. Okay, yeah. Theoretically sitting on Branchy. That's what I'm saying. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. You know, so it's like, you know, oh, look, again, don't kink shame, like whatever you're into. But, you know, I thought that was hilarious. And I was like, okay, this is the final nail in the coffin. They are definitely, or I hope not, siblings.
I mean, I hope so, right? I hope so. No, but that clue was kind of like everyone's like, oh, snap. So that's a thing that happened. I did like, real quick, Robin Thicke making the joke of Lil Wayne is down. I like that.
Yeah.
Because of the robot being down. I was like, that's good
continuity. It's like, yeah. And it's a callback to what? Season three. So early first part of season three. So
literally one episode of season three.
You love to see it.
You love to see it. Yeah. I don't have much to say about the guesses that were made here, especially since we know who it was.
Right.
No one was close. And then Ken Jeong said Danny DeVito. So I just want to move on, really.
Oh, God. So bad. Those books ain't helping at all.
Yeah. Well, before we go on to the next performer, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. The microwave just buzzed. Boom. The popcorn is ready to eat. Let's talk about the popcorn. Let's indulge in the popcorn, Liana. And before we even got to the popcorn, we had a segment of the popcorn falling for Nick. So we kind of got the continuity of the flirt mance or whatever. So that's the thing that they're mm-hmm. pushing on us.
Mm-hmm.
The popcorn doesn't need this, right? Because the popcorn, actually, no, I'm going to talk about the clue package first before I go all over the place. So the popcorn's friend is a Russian nesting doll person. It's mm-hmm. their BFF. The clue package had a deer. There were famous karaoke parties that were cited. There was a sewing kit. I did see bunny ears at one point. But the biggest clue was finding out that I guess the Russian nesting doll person has been on the show before.
Yes, the Russian nesting doll person was on the show.
Yes, which color me intrigued. I don't. I mean, again, I don't have like an indicator on this one. Group A has famously been my worst so far, but did you get anywhere with these?
So I'm like I'm ready to lock in a guess.
Oh, like lock in, like no matter what happens like, after here, even if you don't see any clue packages you got. Oh, I love that. Okay, let's go. Wait, let me give you a worthy sound drop.
Okay. I know exactly who this is.
All right, there we go. So
okay. I don't want to give any credit to Jenny because but the fact when she said Taylor Dane and I was like, oh, because I had narrowed it down to three people, including Taylor Dane. And
didn't you go back down? You went down.
I thought it was Debbie Gibson. Okay. Yeah, Debbie Gibson and Taylor Dane were like the two that I was pretty convinced it was. And I was like, it's Debbie Gibson. Lock it down. I'm really happy that I didn't say this last week whatever we talked about the last. I really think it's Taylor Dane because everything really seems to match. The crimped hair in Tell It to My Heart, that music video, she's got the like big crimped hair right in front. The whole Russia thing, she performs regularly. Or at least when she was coming up in the scene, Taylor Dane, she performed for mobsters at a Russian club. So that's like the whole Russia connection. She's performing on Broadway. She's from New York City. There's like all of these clues in the past. The Taylor sewing kit like makes sense. The Deer, Dawn, Fawn, Dane. I don't know what that means, but that makes sense to me in some way. And then the fact that the Royal BFF is I think Leah Remini, right, is who they said. Like, Nicole was like, Leah Remini was on, maybe not on that stage, but on this stage, which is the classic Masked Singer. I feel like that's something that the Masked Singer would do, where it's like, they performed at the, you know, or they were at the Olympics, or they were at the, you know, the Super Bowl. Oh, but, aha, there's a little fun twist. So, anyway, that's what I think. Taylor Dane, locking it in. I know exactly who this is. I feel super good about it. Stupid Jenny. I just like, oh man, it did. I'm not gonna lie. I probably would not have doubled down so hard if she didn't have. She didn't say that.
So I'm trying to like.
I just feel sorry. I just feel good that I somehow got there on my own. I'm like really proud of myself for this one.
I'm trying to find something right now. Because I remember we looked at stuff. We looked at I feel like I've said Taylor Dane as a guest is what I'm trying to get at here.
Taylor Dane as a guest.
I remember searching a list, like something, and being like, yeah, so this is someone that it could be. And you mocked me because you were so convinced it was this Debbie Gibson person.
Yes, but I had Taylor Dane on my list, so I wouldn't have mocked you for that because she was on my list. Yes, I think it's Cyndi Lauper. Did you not see our Masked Singer chat with Marisa? We're mocking you for not knowing who Cyndi Lauper is. We've been doing that for a while now.
You gotta pay attention
to the family chats.
I pay attention to the family chat.
Plenty. I mentioned you explicitly.
Did you at me or did you just say my name?
Oh, I'm sorry. There's three people in the chat.
It takes one to tango. I need the name mentioned.
I did mention it.
No, but like you didn't add it. So I didn't get the noty. I gotta get the noty.
There's three of us.
So it doesn't share. I need the noty.
Whatever.
Nah. Move on. I'm kidding. I saw it.
Yeah. Okay, so then you know who we're talking about. We're talking about Cyndi Lauper. Yes, I did laugh at you. And no, it's not Taylor Dane.
Yes. Okay. Well, we can move on now. We can move on to the performance, which I thought maybe this is a hot take. Best performance of the night was for me. Yeah,
That song, Jessie J has a fabulous voice, and to do Domino, that's actually quite impressive. So maybe it's like, it was good. It was good.
I felt like the popcorn gave me what I wanted the Snow Owls to give me, which is something different, something new. And I felt like this was kind of the popcorn's breakout night where the popcorn gave me more than I thought the popcorn had. And it was a great song choice. It was fun, especially after the doldrums of the second song. It was great. I love the diner motif. I'm a sucker for diners, if you know me. So I love that. It was all about that. The popcorn was killing it for me. I did love the flying kernels, like the popcorn kernels in the air. That was a plus for me. And I did like the petals at the end. What I didn't like was the dancers with the cheap pink wigs, but then the popcorn box upside down. I didn't appreciate that. And like the thing is, I wouldn't have minded that, but then they're wearing this like mask that's almost like a hockey mask, like one of those like really creepy ones. I don't know. It was a little bit off for me with the dancers, but I liked everything else about this performance.
Wait, were those, are you talking about the men in black that were like shuffling near the entrance? Because no, they were also not there. They were also at the corners shuffling.
Oh, I'm seeing them now. What are they wearing on their heads? Like something red.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I was, I really couldn't look away because it was, she was doing such a great job. And the fact that even, you know, Robin afterwards was impressed. Was, okay, when Robin's impressed, like then, you know, you did something right.
Yeah. No, I thought like, it was just so good. I liked every bit of it, Liana. Mm-hmm. And if anything, this kind of gave me faith that the popcorn's not out at the six. The popcorn has a shot here, genuinely. Maybe not as strong of a shot, but on the night, the right song, the right razzle dazzle, like you can make it far.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. It's going to be such a battle royale.
I know. I'm telling you. Not since the White Tiger shamed us am I been excited about a finals situation than I am now. I'm so keen to get there. So the guess is, yeah. So you, like you said, Taylor Dane was Jenny McCarthy's. Niecy went with Cyndi Lauper, who I totally know. And then Ken Jeong made a guess we don't need to acknowledge. Why are you laughing? Did you not look at the group text? It was brought up there.
Yeah, I'm not laughing.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure. So
I have a little popcorn stuck in my throat. It's just, I was trying to breathe it out, you know,
low key, like you do. When a popcorn kernel is stuck in your throat, it is one of the worst feelings. One of the reasons I don't eat popcorn as much as I do is because of the nonsense that you have to sit through trying to deal with getting it out of your teeth.
Yeah, between the teeth and then if you get it stuck in your throat, popcorn is a dangerous food.
But yeah, see, the thing is, between the teeth is annoying, but like it might be doable. It's the back of the throat, especially if you don't have any beverages nearby, like you're donezo. It's awful. I hate it. I hate it so much. That being said, like I'm not going to turn you away if you give me popcorn. Like, yeah, I'll have popcorn. Like I'm never going to say no to popcorn. I would just rather not have it there as an option so that I don't have it.
We have a lot of popcorn in this household.
I know one of the lower caloric snacks. That's like a junk food. So
yeah,
it works.
Yeah. If it's like, oh, I don't have to. Well, anyway, whatever. We can debate the merits of eating popcorn later.
Okay. Well, we don't. How about we debate the merits of the way the voting went down? So the way they chose to break this down was we're going to announce the winner of the three. And that winner automatically goes to the Super Six. And then we'll have our smackdown between the popcoin and the snow. Oh, spoilers, popcoin and the snow owls. So the sun makes it to the Super Six. What was your thought on the way they formatted this?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I mean, otherwise, what's their other option to say? Oh, the first contestant will be singing in the SmackDown is the Snow Owls. And then the next. Yeah. You know, either way, I think the most exciting way that they could have done it was get the Snow Owls out of the way first and then make it down between the popcorn and the sun. Sorry, Snow Owls.
Right. But, like, OK, so in no particular order, two of you did not make it to two of you are in the SmackDown. One of you won. In no particular order, Snow Owls, pause. You did not win tonight. You will be in the SmackDown. All right. Popcorn.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't like my reenactment?
Yeah, we get it. No, it's great. Okay. You need the like dun dun dun, like you know, the music and the commercial break and all that
don't
stuff.
Really make me feel like with a whole studio's worth of production and sound bites next week and reenact these things.
Oh, great. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
With bated breath. Okay, so the Snow Owls came through and sang another Celine Dion song in the same night with Because You Loved Me.
This is the third Celine Dion song, by the way, on this season alone. That's pretty impressive.
It's a lot of Celine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dying Dion for another song.
Still no I drove all night, but that's fine. Olive.
And then Brian Adams, Everything I Do by the Popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that this was an open and shut case.
Yeah.
Really.
Like, 100%.
Not for a second that I think, before they sang, I was kind of like, I think this is as far as the Snow Owls are going to go. They were a gimmick costume with two people. It was exciting. They were actually pretty decent. They made it to the three, but I was like, there's no way you make it to the two, based on voice and performance alone. So
there was one shot when the Popcorn was performing. And I know that the Snow Owls had masks on, but I swear the look that one Snow Owl gave the other one was like, oh, yeah, we're done. It was like one of those like, are you seeing what I'm seeing kind of things? Or it was like, yeah, we're out of here. Well,
to go back to Robin Thicke, Robin, you know, he said, if you're going to do it, you do it like that. And the Popcorn did it. So. Yeah, sorry, Snow Owls, this is the end of the road for you. Now, we get to the final guesses and the vaulted guesses. None of them win, which makes me happy. I'm happy that they didn't get one. But then there was Amy Grant and Vince Gill. There was Mary McCormick and Barry Williams. There was the couple that we talked about that we didn't know how to pronounce their names. Derek and Julian. So there was them.
Yeah, there was them.
I've been practicing their last names. Like, it's never going to come up again. And then right now I panicked. I don't want to say it in case I'm wrong. But Derek and Julian.
Okay, how do you say it?
I think it's Huff.
Okay, let's go with that.
It's not Huch. I'll tell you that. And then the Donnie and Marie guest was there. So.
Yeah,
but Nicole did switch it to them, though, right? Nicole switched it to Ken Black and Lisa Hartman.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she got it there at the end.
She got it there. It doesn't count as a vault guest, but she did. So they take off the mask. Boom, it's them. So let's go to the more interesting part of this. Tell me what your vault guess was.
Okay, so sorry, I'm re-listening just to make Derek and Julian. Huh. I don't know. That's how Nick, I'm listening to the way Nick is. Oh my God, I can't believe we're doing this again. Not whatever. Again. That was my vault pick. That's why I had to.
Was your vault pick.
Ken and I have the same vault pick. I'm so embarrassed. But the fact that, who was it? Maybe Jenny was like, you know what? That's actually the best one he's had. I was like, oh, okay. Thank God. Because I literally the exact same vault pick.
My vault pick was was Helen Hunt and Paul Reiser.
What?
I told you, I thought it was like a Mad About You thing. I was like, I think they were, you know, they're a couple. They could have done a thing. They had like a revival last year. So I thought maybe that's it. I mean, I was wrong. Not about to say that I wasn't wrong. So there you go. That's the thing that happened. And we can move on.
Yeah, and we can move on. That's probably the best way to look at the majority of our vault guests. And we move on.
Yeah, honestly, there's nothing to see here. Let's move it along. So that's about it on the episode proper.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have questions this week from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remembered to post it. So if you would like to ask us questions for these episodes, you can find us on Twitter. You can reach out there. Or if you're in the RHAP Rob as a podcast patron group, you can put your question in the thread weekly or in the RHAP Discord. So you can find us there and you can ask us there. We move. So here are some questions I pulled for you, Liana. Carly brought up, is the son the only person to have a slight change to their costume? We talked about it. My question to you is this costume better than the skirt or no?
I like the costume changes. I like both. I think that if the sun had come out with the pants initially, I would have been like, oh, that's the lion costume, even more so from season one. So I think it's good that she came out with the skirt initially and then now has been able to change it a little bit. I think who else had the monster had classic costume changes. One of my favorite parts about the monster. But other contestants we've seen the same. I believe the fox maybe had a costume change at one point in time.
Yes, the fox did.
Yeah. And I think that that just adds another layer of dynamics. To their performances, which makes me want to come back and see it again instead of a lot of samey. You know, you want to be entertained. You want to see lots of different types of things. So I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. I think, you know, it's the true mark of a winner to be able to do multiple things, wear multiple hats, both in a performance way or in cosmetic dressing aesthetic way. So the sun is giving me championship vibes right now based on that stuff alone. Mm-hmm. The good part of this question, Leon, is like I can see what people want us to talk about. And when we organically hit them, I'm happy. A lot of people asked about the egg. Why didn't they leave the egg? Their costume looked beautiful. We've already touched on all that. I want to specifically talk about this question that Addison had, mainly to address it. So Addison's question is, do you think that the notable decline in star level of the celebrities on this season is because they filmed during COVID and couldn't get bigger names? Or is this the level we should expect everyone to be at going forward in future seasons?
That's a good question. You know, initially we speculated, oh, they're gonna have bigger celebrities. Now, obviously not everybody has been unmasked thus far. So we still have some contestants to go and we're gonna gauge the star quality of this season. But my guess is that COVID definitely had an impact. You know, we thought it was going to be because there would be bigger names, but I think it's probably, you know, we're getting maybe not as big a names. I think it was early-ish in the pandemic, you know, and when they did the whole lockdown, I can understand people being nervous about wanting to do it and mm-hmm. going through all the precautions. So I think that it's probably because of COVID, but we will have to... Though it may continue. So I was going to say we'll have to wait till season 5, but we may see same. So it'll be hard to decouple the two.
Yeah, no, I feel like, you know, the best is yet to come, even I might argue. Like I understand that even some of our guesses are leaning more towards non-famous. I think it's mostly to do with COVID as well. Mm-hmm. I think they've shown every season that there's enough juice to find these bigger names that are willing to do this. Like, mm-hmm. so there's definitely going to be at least one or two per season that are going to be bigger names. So we'll just have to see. I think it's just hard to get people to come out. I had the incorrect take coming into the season that I thought it was going to be the biggest season because what's everyone doing? Mm-hmm. But I was wrong. So we can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. You're 100% on point, Leon, as always. I mean, not as always. Your vault guesses.
No, as always. As no. always. As always. As always.
As always. Okay. So let's see. I mean, make sure. I think the beauty again. We've answered everything literally. Yeah. So I don't even have another last question for you.
Mm.
Oh, actually, no. So Patrick said that for a second, Patrick was convinced that the popcorn was leaving and thought the popcorn was better than the snow house, but the producers were gonna keep the gimmick over who was actually better.
I can totally understand that anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I am, again, happy about the outcome. I think the right decision was made, gimmick or no. But again, the fact it's not like it's no longer a gimmick, really. They're just stuck in an egg.
Right.
Like, what is this, right. Easter? You know, crack it open. Let's get out of here.
Crack it open. Make some breakfast. No, I you know, I feel like this is the invoice we're going to pay forever for like a White Tiger incident where it's like, oh my God, we're about to lose someone good, but it didn't happen mm-hmm. here. And I'm sincerely happy. But that brings us to the end. Leon, it brings us to the end of this week's discussions. We'll be back next week talking all about Group B's finals, which my heart is not ready for, but we'll have to deal with that when we get there. Until then, where can people find you and what are you going to be up to?
You can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I'm finally being able to breathe when it comes to podcasting. You know, Big Brother is off the air, but I will be coming back to talk about The Amazing Race. Oh, to bring it back to the beginning of the episode, I'm going to be on the Tar Pits this week with Mike Bloom, Jessica Leese, and Rob Cesternino himself to talk about the latest episode and a bunch of shenanigans when it comes to the season of The Amazing Race.
Lovely. I'm very excited. We've been watching The Amazing Race from the beginning together. Like, for those of you who did not know, so Liana and I are what, on episode season 4 now?
Yeah.
We're on the journey trying to complete all the seasons. It's been a fun ride, but no, I'm very excited for that, Liana. You can find me on all major social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, twitch.tv. It's Puyaism for all three. I too have no more Big Brother obligations, which is low key nice. I'll be back talking more 90 Day Fiance. We recently talked about episode 19 of The Other Way. That's available for you to check out. And then as far as my Twitch channel goes, I'll be streaming 3 times a week. With the bigger one being the Among Us stream on Sundays, 5 Eastern. If you want to see me and a bunch of friends from the network play some Among Us, that's where you can find us on Sunday evenings. And of course, last but never least, if you would like to leave a rating or review for this podcast, please. It helps us a lot. It gets us out there. We are battling. We're toe-to-toe with the official podcast of The Masked Singer now with Lil Bow Wow, a.k.a. The Frog. Help us beat The Frog, right? So all the ratings and the reviews are appreciated sincerely. You can do that over at robhasawebsite.com/maskedsinger, M-A-S-K-E-D, singer. We appreciate you. You have all been leopards. None of you have been white tigers. Thank you so much. And we will unmask you with Group B next week. Take care, everybody. Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.